This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing this Tuesday?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Doing good.
Danny Meringue, man of his word. Those watching on YouTube, the YouTube Party Animals, can see Danny did shave a mustache.
A mustached up.
Now, the impetus of this was, would your wife still find you attractive with the mustache?
Mm.
It's a jar. You said the facial hair doesn't affect. It is a jarring change.
It's a jarring change.
When you go from goat to stash, what were the first words out of her mouth?
So, this
it's a
is
a great stash,
this,
by the way.
Thank you. This is my wife. Me walking out of the bathroom, staring at her, like eyes bulging out of my face.
Yeah, you look like a serial killer.
And she was like, "What is your deal?" And I'm like, "What is your deal?"
Yeah.
She's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Am I missing something?" I'm like, "I'm missing something."
Yeah.
She goes, "What are you?" I'm like, I thought she was trolling. She just didn't.
She didn't even notice.
And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
But if she were to cut like an inch of her hair off, she'd be like, "Hello."
Yeah.
Don't you notice?
As soon as
something?
I said it, like, I literally just like kind of pointed.
Yeah.
Gave her the giant arrow to my face, knife hands. She's like, "Oh." Oh yeah. I was like, "Are you
nothing?
Are you you're seeing my chin for the first time in like 2 years?"
It's quite a look. Like your mustache is very what it is. Have you ever seen Monsters University?
Monsters Inc, yes.
Have you seen Monsters University?
Oh, yes. I have 2 children, so yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah. You look like the old guy who joins their frat in Monsters University.
Is that Bob?
Bob, yeah. Bob from Monsters University.
Bob Gunderson?
Yeah, Bob did. Yeah. It's got a Bob Gunderson look to it. It's a broomy is the way I would describe it. It's a broomy mustache.
My wife followed up with, "You look like my father." And I was like, "Well..."
Oh,
because he does have for
he's
anybody
got
who ever
the broomy mustache.
Anybody who ever went to Beard and Sub Shop for 25 years, you know my father-in-law, Chuck. He's got a broomy mustache.
Yeah, it's a different one. Like mine comes out on the sides. Like
I trimmed mine up a little bit higher.
Yeah,
and that was the thing. I went even with the lip line. I did when I originally shaved it. I went full Orange County Chopper.
Boy, yeah, that would be a look with your hair right now.
I almost kept it.
You should have.
I should have kept it, and like at least for a day.
Yeah,
because I'm not on TV tonight, so
you should have.
I could have got away.
What are you going to do tomorrow? You're just going to keep it.
Yeah,
good. You just don't even acknowledge it.
I mean,
just act like it's nothing.
I mean, I shaved it with an actual razor yesterday. It's already we're already.
You're a woolly man.
Yeah.
You're a woolly.
My hair on my head and my hair on my face both grow very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have hair anywhere else.
All right.
I have like 2 chest hairs.
I don't.
It's very weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can pull the pant legs up.
I'm good. Visuals. I got look
at the arms.
Whatever words out of your mouth aren't going to unscar my brain.
Yeah,
it's not going to unscar this brain.
It's like
here.
A naked roll rat, man.
Oh boy.
Yeah, just not. But it's all on the head and the face. It grows back very quickly.
Yeah,
which is weird because I really didn't grow facial hair until I was like 19, 20. Like I went on my first deployment when I was 18. And
you have to grow facial hair.
Oh yeah,
that, right.
You have your deployment mustache. Mm-hmm. Like that's like a rite of passage. And it was like you've talked about your first mustache. Mine was so much worse.
Oh really?
It was so wispy and so bad. It didn't even graduate to caterpillar. It was
no.
Oh man, it was so flat. You know what I mean? Like there was no volume to it. Like when you say my mustache is broomy, it's got volume to it. There's a thickness. It's not Tom Selleck.
No,
but it's not flat.
Yeah, and that's where, like, yours comes down.
Yes.
Selleck has got, it just comes across.
Yes.
And like, it's a thing of beauty.
And it's got serious depth to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, I go more Sam Elliott than Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
It's broomy.
Yeah.
But when I had the handlebar,
beef
I trimmed it up.
Bouillon.
I trimmed it up a little bit, and I had it to where I could curl it.
Mm-hmm.
Catalonian like, beef ragu.
God, that sounds pretty tasty. I'm not going to lie.
I've never had Catalonian beef ragu.
I haven't either. It just sounds...
I don't even know what it is, to be honest.
I mean, I would assume beef ragu from Catalonia. Man, yeah. I've had ragu, and not the pasta.
That would be a beef, yeah, sauce, something.
It's a pasta, yeah, obviously. It looks great. Oh, that looks really good. Hmm.
Yeah, that looks incredible.
Hey, I got a question. Because when I Googled that, it brought me to, like, all of these recipes for
mm-hmm.
Catalonian beef ragu. Does anybody, and I mean anybody, read the 45 paragraphs
no.
before a recipe on the internet?
I immediately hit that jump to recipe button.
And if you don't have the jump to recipe, I don't care how many stars that has.
I'm going right
I'm out.
Back the heck off of that.
I am out.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Who cares? Have you ever read any of those either? It is like the backstory of why you enjoyed it, what your kids were wearing that day. It's like, I don't care. Give me the damn recipe.
I anything that does that ever, I don't care how good the recipe is, I go past it.
Yeah, if you have an intrusive pop-up ad,
I'm out.
I won't buy your product. Yeah.
No.
I won't buy your product.
I'm
if
right
you have
you.
A recipe where I don't have a jump to recipe option,
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Just give me, I don't care. I do not care. Nobody cares.
Can I go in a literal squirrel moment real quick?
Yes.
Okay. I was probably 15 or 16 when my grandma gave it to me. So the ancestry of my family goes like back two generations, and then nobody really knows. It just kind of, there wasn't a lot of records, and my family's very small.
That makes sense.
Right? I mean, that's typically what serial killers do.
Nobody knows who Jack the Ripper is either.
You definitely should not do the 23andMe or Ancestry.com.
I'm actually doing it this year for Christmas.
Buddy, this is not going to work out.
He's going to have a straight line to Genghis Khan.
buddy, it's like, you're going to be like, uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Yes,
like if you
some unsolved mysteries.
Somehow avoided no-fly list to this point. You're going to get on one real quick.
An offshoot of my grandma's part of the family comes from this like deep south, like in the woods type stuff. And there's a recipe
the
book.
Branches of this family tree are getting smaller.
Yeah.
Probably some sort of part of town known as a holler.
Well, here's the thing. It's Arkansas. Like we're talking real Southern, right? I don't know anything about this part of my family at all. Because they're all long dead, but long story short, my grandma gave me a recipe book that had the recipes back to like the early 1800s, and there's recipes in there for varmints.
Like oh yeah.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Get your squirrel, get your raccoon, get your opossum.
Yeah. Like the roadkill cafe kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're copies of the actual recipes, like photocopies.
I think we've been saying your last name wrong the entire time. I think it's meringue. It's like no, it's not meringue. It's meringue.
Yeah. Well, it's the other side of the family, thankfully. But yeah, there's stuff in there that has made me like when I look at the recipes, I went, oh, they were like eating this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
BT Dubs, as far as a good like slow cooked beef ragu goes,
I thought you were gonna go with full on squirrel.
Short ribs,
okay.
Short ribs in the beef sauce. Yeah, yes, right. And then also what is great for the flavor too is like a you get like a piece of like Parmesan cheese rind, and you cook the rind in there with it.
All right.
Yeah.
I am so excited for like after the new year when you get your genetic testing back. Because it's going to go one of two ways. Either you are going to be very quiet about it, and we'll all know how problematic it was.
Did you do it? No, we didn't do it.
Or You are going to talk to a nauseating level about where your family tree goes.
I'm genuinely interested because no one knows.
I think there's going to be a whole lot of like three namers in there.
Billy Ray.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's deep on my mom's side. Like, and even then, like on my it's like my grandma's brother's side of things. Like, it's super, super deep out there. But like on my father's side of the family, once it gets past my grandfather, like it's it's anybody's guess.
All right.
So I'm genuinely interested to see what it says.
Oh, this is gonna be. This is going to be content. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't say much about it, we know. Mm. We know.
No, it'll just.
And because, we're all going to pry.
But, well, I mean, if I don't say much about it, it's because there's a pending documentary.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm excited
for
this.
How crazy would it be if you did like a 23andMe and it actually solved crimes?
That's why I don't do them. because
somebody in your family.
I feel like that's happened a couple of times on SVU.
No, I absolutely, like, there is in the back of my mind, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I got some family members that may get
some genetic markers in there that might implicate some folks.
Coming in on the old Vancouver Ford text line, remembering 10 minutes ago when we didn't know what Danny looked like naked.
We know. We don't need to bring that back up. I mean, it'll all haunt us in our dreams tonight.
Like a shorn sheep.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is how every Dateline NBC ends, and they find the serial killer based upon some distant relative taking a DNA test. Expect the FBI to show up soon.
Wouldn't be the first time.
If you find old Keith Morrison anywhere near you, you better be scared.
Yeah.
Or Bill Hader.
Did I ever tell you about the time when I had the...
the FBI show up.
Show up, yeah.
Yep.
Fun one.
Yeah.
All because I was home on leave.
Well, they knew.
And they found a body.
They knew.
Down the street.
They knew. They knew.
Two blocks from your house?
Actually, less than. Block down the street. In the creek.
Oh, boy. I know exactly how that conversation went. It went, well, we just wanted to touch base. We know you're home on leave. Be like, I wouldn't have gotten rid of it that close to my house, guys.
Come on.
It would not have been. Come on.
I'm not an idiot. I may or may not have had a few jokes.
I know that. Yeah. And they were probably none too happy with your shenanigans.
Or he did do it that close to his home just to try to throw them off.
Yeah, throw them off the scent.
Be like, he wouldn't do that.
He's not that dumb.
Come on. I wouldn't do that. What are you talking about here? That was like last night. The little TikTok on Twitter showed up on my from the first 48. You know,
a TikTok on Twitter.
It said TikTok, and they just screen recorded it because they want their own engagements, whatever. But it was a guy on the first 48 who he's like, I didn't do it. They're like, well, who do you think did? And he started going down this description of the guy. He's like, he's like 5'8", probably about between 210, 212 pounds. And wears a size 10 shoe. And the detective looks at him like, And then he goes, okay, thank you for this is all very helpful. And then he walks out of the room and the detective goes, size 10 shoe. How does he know what size shoe he wears? And then he's like, he goes back and he's like, how do you know what size shoe the guy wore? And he's like, he tried to sell them to me. He's like, but I'm an 11 and a half. It's like, okay, all right. Spoiler alert, that guy was the killer, not the guy he was given this description of. That was one of those ones where he was like, you know what, I'm going to throw him off the scent. I'm going to wear a pair of shoes a size and a half too small so they can't track my footprints. And he went right, just gave it up too soon. It's like a little kid. That interview was like a little kid.
Yeah.
You just give them a little bit and they tell you too much.
I saw, speaking of a crime scene after a drunk driving accident, and the cop plays incredibly nice.
Wait, this is like on TV?
No, this is a real thing.
Okay, in real life. TikTok. Okay.
Body cam footage.
Okay, right. And so this isn't a real life experience, because I was thinking
No,
all right.
Like, I saw this one, and it was just like, this cop's playing very nice and something very tragic has clearly happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so, you know, it looks like she sound like she may have had a little bit to drink. Were you guys out drinking? Yeah. And like, oh, I'm sorry. It's such a terrible thing. And he just like, just keeps asking the other passenger and she's just freely giving up
mm-hmm.
everything. And I'm going, wow, that conversational tone is not only going to, get you to talk, but it's also going to put your friend in jail for the next 20 years.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's amazing happens in those situations when
I feel like that is a situation where you probably should be forthright, though.
Well, I know, but they're look, I'm not saying all cops are bad, and but in those instances, like, they're trained to do that.
Yeah.
Because you can take advantage of those emotions and basically get all the information you need, and it doesn't even need to go to trial.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, you're done. Stuff.
Yep, that's brutal.
And that's why you don't do 23andMe.
Yeah, I can't wait till you do it.
You know, I may just order it right now. Do it early. I'm actually super interested now. Don't they usually run like a Christmas deal, like around this time?
I have no idea.
I feel like they do.
It's like, do you wish you had family you could hate? Let 23andMe help find your relatives.
You're feeling a shortage of people around the Thanksgiving dinner table. This Black Friday special.
All right. Let's get this show on the road. We got a lot of football that we have left over from the weekend. We've got some NBA, too, in that this is fine. Everything is fine in Philadelphia. There's nothing to see here.
Good Lord.
Nothing at all to see here. Pay no attention to any of this. All is well. There'll be fine. So we've got some NBA, got some college and NFL. I guess where we got to start is, can we be honest about one team in the NFL and treat them the way they should be treated? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. I think we need to treat the Dallas Cowboys as they should be treated. They are a bad franchise. They are a terrible football team. And they do not deserve to be put on a pedestal until they prove it otherwise.
There's nothing redemptive about them.
They get treated like the LA Dodgers when they are the Angels.
Ooh, that's a bar.
They do. They get treated like they are the Dodgers and they are successful and they are close, and then the team that just can't get over that hump. No, they're closer to the Angels than they are the Dodgers, and we need to treat them like that. It doesn't matter that you are America's team. They haven't done anything in 30 years. They haven't. Actually, the Angels have done more recently, and we criticize the Angels for not doing anything and wasting talent. That's exactly what Dallas does. And yet we treat them as if they are close to getting over the hump. And they're not. They are not. They need to be treated like the Jets get treated.
Which is interesting because as bad as they are, as dysfunctional as they are, they're one of the better drafting teams in the NFL.
So are the Angels.
It's
the Angels had the two best players in all of baseball.
And you're not wrong. I think there's something to that, right? Like, you look at what they've been able to build over the years. How many guys have come from the outside in?
Like, as far as, like, free agents and
like,
stuff like
been
that?
Been the backbone of their team.
Not many.
Or been that important to their team.
But, like, in the same vein, though, Joe Douglas just got fired today, Jets general manager.
Mm-hmm.
He has drafted Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, Will McDonald, Braylon Allen, Jermaine Johnson, Michael Carter II.
Didn't he also draft a big boy up front? D-tackle. They just paid a lot of money to.
No, I think they
was that the year before?
Brought him in. Either that or he didn't draft him. But that's all since 2019. The Jets draft players too.
Yeah.
So they overpaid.
It's not like the Raiders or the Browns who have been just abysmal in the draft. It's the other stuff. And it's almost like, maybe it's ownership.
They overpay at the wrong times to the wrong people mm-hmm. in the wrong positions. They have not been able to draft, develop a quarterback in New York. And yet, because the Dallas Cowboys get treated like they are the Lions or the Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. They could treat it like they're the Steelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally really good. And hey, they're going to be right there at the end. No, they're not. They aren't. And there's like this belief that, you know what the Cowboys are going to do? They don't need to be elite at quarterback. Dak Prescott is good enough to do it. He hasn't been.
No. And then you paid him the obscene amount of money. That's the thing about this is...
Now, I don't want to trash Dak because I don't think he's a trash quarterback.
No. But they paid him like one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's nowhere near that.
I can't tell you how many times Cowboy fans are like, Dak's top five, top 10. No, he isn't.
He's not. He's like 11 through 13.
Yep.
14.
And
like,
that's
right. Again, better than most.
That's like the 0.02% of quarterbacks in the world.
Yes.
He is.
Yes. But the gap between him and what you paid him is, it's not quite Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
But it might as well be. Because once you commit that money to that guy and he's not that guy, see, I don't know, the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything else falls apart from that. And your actual best player, your franchise changer, and Micah Parsons is the one that you didn't pay.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like another team in that division. Sounds like another team in that division. Now the Dallas Cowboys are 0-5 at home.
They've lost six straight at home after going 16-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, in those six losses, they have trailed by 20 points in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just losing, they're getting
schlacked,
hammered.
And I want to remember it right. In the previous 2 years, they trailed for 227 total minutes. Over the last five, they have trailed for 272.
I just want to do this out of the one thing out of Monday Night Football is we need to start treating the Cowboys like what they
are. Like a dog water franchise.
Because they are right now.
Yes.
And you mentioned it. Ownership matters. And leadership matters. Ownership doesn't matter as much as your front office matters. And in Dallas, the front office and ownership are one and the same. Right?
Yes.
It's Jerry Jones calling the shots.
And even then, it was like, well, they just got to get rid of Jerry. I'm like, oh, so they can replace him with Steven Jones?
Because ownership has not changed in Detroit. They're figuring it out. Right? They bring in Brad Holmes. They get a coach and a GM that are on the same page. They draft and develop and invest their money in the right spots and do it wisely. And they get a coach who can maximize the talent around him. Jerry Jones, as the owner, doesn't want to relinquish any of the power of the organization. So he is still calling the shots, even though he has gotten better at listening to his kids on drafting some of the wild reaches that he used to take. He is actually not making those reaches, but the problem is that he wants a coach that'll be a yes man to him. And
that's always been the case.
And that always has been the case. I mean, he has gone after what got between he and
Jimmy
Johnson. Jimmy said, no, I want to do it my way. He brought in Bill Parcells to be like, no, see, I can do it. I can have a guy who's a strong-willed person. No, they bickered and fought with each other the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's been yes man after yes man, and the results are exactly the same.
But Jason Garrett being the most of that.
Yeah, and it got Jason Garrett to the point where now we're looking at Jason Garrett going, yeah, well, he wasn't that bad, you know? Like, it's getting worse in Dallas. And look, the Dak Prescott injury, obviously that plays a massive role in them looking as bad as they looked
last
night.
But they also... That same team with Dak Prescott had 60 hung on them by the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, they lost five home games in a row instead of six, right?
So.
That was my one takeaway from Monday Night Football last night is I don't think we learned much about the Houston Texans because they were good heading into that game. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're still a very good football team.
Joe Mixon, really good. Did you see the stat that came out of that?
Yeah.
He's now the all-time leader in consecutive road games with 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. He tied Derrick Henry.
Wow, that's
five consecutive road games with at least 100 yards and a touchdown.
Joe Mixon, almost as good at hitting the hole as he is hitting women.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Off the top rope from the other room.
Lord.
Off the steel cage from the other room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went all Mankind on you.
Yeah, I'm not... Golly. No, but they are still a really good football team, mm-hmm. and I think we said just saw how bad the Dallas Cowboys are.
And really good football teams beat the crap out of dog water teams.
And it's, you know, the one thing that Jerry always used to lean on, mm-hmm. and he could lean on, is he's got Jerry's World.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back bad weeks for Jerry's World.
Mm.
You have the light blinding CeeDee Lamb in the back of the end zone, and then Jerry gets defensive about it. The very next home game, the ceilings, a la the Kingdome, starts falling apart.
Did you see what the Texans did?
Yes.
For those that did not see it, the Texans social media team used the shape of the piece of metal that fell out of the roof and turned it into an L.
Yikes, dog.
Shout out the Texans social media team.
No, the Texans social media team was on one mm. because they did that at the end of the game. Do you see what they did before the game?
Mm-mm.
Finally, a real fight in Arlington this weekend.
Wow.
That's what they did pregame. Obviously, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
To which Cowboy fans applaud you for this one. They were going, nah, this is the same S we watched on Friday. Yeah.
Also, did you see what they did for the fight?
No.
They closed the curtains.
Oh, yeah, they did, to block out the light. They brought in curtains that Jerry said, no, we don't need to do that. Home field advantage. Yeah, they had curtains up.
We always know where the sun is.
Yeah.
Just an insane excuse. Just an insane excuse. I unbelievable.
Oh, man. All right.
Within the rules, if you are the Cowboys, and let's say you lose the toss, so you pick the direction, can you then close the curtains if you have them?
You can't, you can't do it on a drive-by-drive basis.
No. Right? But I'm saying knowing that you're going to be going. You win the toss, so you don't get to pick the direction. But can you then close the curtains so that you?
As long as you keep them closed.
Yeah. But like you take away the advantage that you may have against them, but you make sure that you don't have it against you in the fourth.
I believe you can.
It just has to be the same for both, right?
Yeah, that's like exactly. It has to be the same for both teams. Mm. So as long as you do that at the beginning of the game,
mm-hmm.
like you can't have the curtains closed and then be like, you know what, fourth quarter, they're going into it. What we're going to do? We're going to open those.
It's off the ice outside. Yeah. Let's let a little breeze in here.
Yeah, you can't do that. Mm. That was one thing that the Cincinnati Bengals always used to be accused of doing.
Mm.
They would apparently they would open the gates on one end of the stadium.
Oh, let the wind through?
And let the wind just howl out through the stadium.
If you let it go down that tunnel, it basically just turns it into an actual wind tunnel and it just flies through the stadium.
I think that was when they played the Chargers, Dan Fouts and the Chargers, they were accused of opening the gates and letting the wind through.
I mean,
solid move.
Yeah.
That's it. They used to be back when home field advantages
were truly
made by the groundskeepers.
Mm-hmm. Water in the field, getting a little thick, maybe cutting it shorter because you're faster. Like, I kind of like those days.
The Patriots bringing out the blowers on the yard lines and
around the kicker.
Yeah. Well, not that against the Raiders. That was the players.
Mm.
But you would just go out in the 80s. They did that. They brought out the blower on the turf and just blowed off the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like those were the good old days.
I do miss those days.
It's a home field advantage for bring your own blowers, mm-hmm. guys.
Or the playing in Oakland and playing in the baseball diamond, getting tackled in the middle of second base
and feces.
Yeah, oh, God,
because that has happened
what
in
a
Oakland.
Hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium's so bad.
Yeah. Well, they're keeping it.
Yeah, what is Oakland going to do with that?
They're playing soccer there. Remember?
Yeah, I know.
That's what they're doing. Good for them.
Okay.
Good for them.
Go with God.
All right. Let's treat the Cowboys as such. All right? Until they have to prove it. Can we make a gentleman's agreement on that? Everybody out here, can we do a handshake or a head nod, and just say, all right, we're done with you. You got to prove it. We're not going to do this next year. I don't want to hear the Cowboys are going to be better next year. No. Until they actually do something about it, they should be treated like the franchise that they are, which is a winless at home 3-7 team. We need to treat them like the other 3-7 teams. They have the same record as the Carolina Panthers right now. They have a worse record than the Cincinnati Bengals, which are being ripped apart right now. And it's like, hey, yeah, they got a chance. No, they don't.
The NFL version of Texas is back.
It truly is. It truly is. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're treated like the 3-8 Jets or the 3-8 Patriots.
When they very much are in the same water.
Right now, they are.
Yeah.
They are. And I hope that they get the number one pick. And they're like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Mm. Do we draft Shador?
Well, so it's funny is I was playing some 2K with a couple of my buddies last night. One of them's
and hired Dion,
huge Cowboys fan.
Des Bryant wants to,
and it's in the third quarter, and he's like, "What are we doing, man? What are we doing?" I'm like, "I think that Cooper Rush had just thrown a pass that it was almost intercepted," and I'm like, "Buddy, you want this? The best thing for you right now is to literally lose every game." Like, well, a draft pick's not going to change what we are next year. I'm like, "This, buddy, this isn't about next year. This is about the future of your franchise. I don't think you understand. You're cooked. The next couple years, you're going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way out of this. You don't have a Danny Dimes injury clause that you can work your way through. You've got money sunk into CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. You're screwed.
You're dunzo.
You want as many high draft picks as you can get over the next couple years to help you transition into the next era because you're stuck.
Yeah, you're bad right now.
Is there any team in the NFL more stuck than them right now?
Yes, there is one. We'll get to that coming up next. Danny and Dusty, here's Rust with SportsCenter. All right, you asked the question, is there a team that is in a worse situation than the Dallas Cowboys right now? Financially, right?
Yeah. Who has a more bleak future than the Cowboys?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Oh, boy.
Cleveland is 2-8. They are sunk into Deshaun Watson with fully guaranteed contract. Full tilt boogie on that thing. And you can't get out of it.
No.
You can't get out of it. And they are in a killer division. They're going to be just buried at the bottom. And maybe that killer division is actually what benefits the Browns more than it hurts the Cowboys. Because, look, the Cowboys still have the Giants in their division. Where the Giants are a rudderless ship. That, look, mm-hmm. you make the argument that the Giants are in an equally bad spot, but no, they're not, because they can get off of Daniel Jones this year, and that's why they benched him for Tommy DeVito, is because Drew Lock could probably win you some games. Tommy DeVito, probably not going to, and boy, does that craptastic Thanksgiving Day game really take a turn when you have Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito.
Stinky.
That's your nap through. That's your nap game on Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah,
that's your nap
game. Oh yeah, in the past that's been a game. You're like, oh, you know, traditional, you know, Cowboys.
That's your trip to fan coma.
No, that's I don't even know if you have that one on in the background.
Yeah, you put it on because this is America, obviously, right? I mean, it's America.
Do we have any college football on that day?
Yeah, yes, there's always a game, but that's the 1:30 game. So, I mean, hey, that's actually good. Like, have the early Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm going to check right now.
You get Bears-Lions in the morning.
I want to, which is,
and then you have,
could be good,
Dolphins-Packers at night.
Thanksgiving's the
28th. It is the 28th,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Memphis Tulane 4:30.
Pacific? I mean you're getting Yeah. You can turn off the second half. Usually the Egg Bowl is that day.
Let me take a look. Maybe I only had it as ranked. No, that's it, man.
I
only got one game.
We're not playing the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving, huh?
I mean, refresh all of FBS 1A. Yep, Thursday the 28th, like Memphis Tulane.
I don't like it. That's the only one?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing to us. I don't like that
We got
at all.
So much Friday football.
Yeah.
So much Friday football.
Oregon State, Boise State.
My goodness.
Oklahoma State at Colorado.
That Ole Miss, Mississippi
great.
State.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and NFL that's on the Black Egg Bowl. Friday, too.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah. I have come back around in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It was not that I lost my love with football. I think the Raiders basically just made me fall out of love with football for a little while there.
Yeah, they'll do
it was,
that.
It was tough. I have come back around on football. Stop with the Christmas Day. Stop with the Friday. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. They want to go all 7 days. And I need a break. I need a break. I would rather have the ability to switch between a couple of games on at the same time than to have it on all week. Yeah.
Wait, no.
I don't want it on every day.
Action.
NFL. I don't want NFL on every day.
Yeah, I agree with that. Give me Sunday, Monday. Thursday night football has come around. Thursday, Friday, Christmas.
Saturday, no.
I think this is your NBA coming out on the Christmas Day games.
I don't like it.
I tend to agree with you.
I don't like it.
I'm with. I stand in solidarity.
David Stern would have murdered Roger Goodell for doing this.
Yeah, but
Adam Silver has no balls.
I think Roger Goodell would have looked at David Stern and said, "What are you really going to do?"
He would have killed him.
What are you really going to do?
Like murdered.
Nothing. I also put this at the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further on Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. P1 Jordan, this is another team that I think could very easily be in the exact same boat as the Cowboys. It's the Saints. They're in a really bad spot. Cap situation is hard to get past, and most of the names you recognize are old. They are going to be really, really bad next year. I think heading into this year, they're $96 million over the salary cap for next year. Heading into this year, $96 million over for next year. Is that? I think that's
that
the
sounds
number.
Bad.
That's going to be, you're going to have to make, as they say, some tough decisions there for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that's...
Let's look at 2025 cap.
That's a lot.
Cap space heading into next year. New England Patriots, $139 million. Maybe you can get a wide receiver. The Saints, it's $77.2 million. They're over the cap. And by the way, if you think of it in these terms, most teams have like between, 35 and 40 people on their roster for next year. The New Orleans Saints have 49 guys on their roster for next year already. And $77 million. And if you look at their average age of their team,
old as dirt,
27.6 years old. That is the sixth oldest roster heading into next year. The 49ers are the oldest, then the Jets, then the Steelers, Browns, Panthers. And that's another one with the Browns, too. They've got the fourth oldest roster in the NFL going into next year.
Who's the young guy on that? And that's the thing when you talk about like this Cowboys team, too.
You got CD, baby. Parsons is entering a second deal, so he's still young.
But, I mean, so much of that team is not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though they've drafted well, it's...
See where the Cowboys are right there. They're right in the meaty part. They're 20th in age for next year. 20th.
So...
It's not great.
No. And I think you're seeing some commonalities in here that are popping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Craptastic ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very poor decisions at the highest ends of the roster. You're looking at the things that will immediately cripple your franchise. The most crippling decisions. And this is what I've kind of said as far as the percentage of cap stuff with it's pertained to wide receivers or quarterbacks. You cannot overpay a quarterback. You can't. You can. It is the quickest way to kill your team. The next quickest way to do that is to overspend on a wide receiver.
Yeah, well, I would say the next quickest way is to let a young quarterback go.
Who has done that, though? Who has?
I know. Nobody. But think of it in terms of, like, had Josh Allen done enough? Remember Josh Allen's first couple of years in the NFL?
Well, his first year was
atrocious. To sell on Josh Allen, right? And then it was like, can they prove it? And his deal was still, that's a dicey one, right? The Chargers with Justin Herbert. Herbert's playing really damn well right now. And it was like, did they overpay for Justin Herbert? It's like, no. If you have a young quarterback, you have to keep him. But teams get caught up with the guys who were on the fringe.
He got paid after year 3, didn't he?
In the Giants, remember when Daniel Jones got his deal? It was after they won a playoff game.
I'm trying to find when he got Josh Allen got his deal.
That was a bad deal by the New York Giants, though. It was a really bad deal.
Because the Josh Allen one, I think, is a very good spark point because he was not good his rookie year. And then year two, he showed mild growth. And you're like, you're kind of seeing this. Like
in year three,
it was like, whoa. And I think that's when they paid him. And I think that, like, you can make the argument for the progression. It wasn't bad, great. It was really bad. Hey, there's growth. Year three, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And I think that's different than the handing money out to Daniel Jones, handing money out to Dak Prescott at that level. And I think that's the thing, like, I know the whole scared money, don't make money thing. I would much rather, like, I think the closest one you can come to this of in recent memory is Jordan Love, him getting paid early. And I think you were like, oh, I don't know. Do you want to pay him right now? Turned out to work out really well for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that there's significantly more teams that get that wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why I think if you divorce yourself from all of it, which is very difficult to do, because you're talking about getting hired or fired. Like that's,
well, in this that's the big thing right there, is because if you don't pay that quarterback, the GM gets canned.
Yeah.
And so the GM pushes to pay that quarterback because he wants to save his ass, because then it justifies
it buys a couple years.
We made the right move. Instead of saying, nope, didn't do it right, we're going to pull the ripcord on this.
Which is what more ownership should be willing to do.
And allow the GM to keep his job, though, because the GM is the guy who does that. And that is also a slippery slope, too, because if you start firing GMs left and right, then you become the Jets.
Yeah. And that's kind of my point. It's like, if you allow them to make a mistake. Now, if you start piling up mistakes, you know, that can't go either. But the way that we talk about quarterbacks specifically, it's like this exact science. It's just not. And so it's like you're going to hinge everything on that. I don't know, man. I just think that holistically we need to be better about how we do this stuff.
Impossible science.
And not only that, the idea of how team building, look at the teams that have done it through multiple eras. What is the thing that you can consistently say? Even when they make mistakes, the Steelers haven't gotten their quarterback situation right over year after year after year. They've gotten it right once. How many front office executives have they gone through?
No, and that is it, though. They hire the right people because you can put the pieces around them and keep them intact.
Green Bay.
And like that, like, it was not the right move to give Daniel Jones all the money, but the rest of the roster was good enough to win at that time. And they went to pay him, and they were like, oh, crap, now we can't figure out how to keep an offensive line.
Do anything else.
And that's where you get caught. You get got, baby!
And that's why I think you just...
The teams that draft mid and late round are the best ones. Packers, Steelers, they thrive there.
It's crazy. Like
the Chiefs, imagine, the Chiefs are in there, and I'll put Philly in there, too.
As good as Malik Nabers is, as good as he is, right? Imagine if they didn't pay Daniel Jones and he got the franchise tag, right? Everything, they keep Saquon, he gets franchise tag, and instead of going into that draft,
and they would have been neighbors, they would have been in a worse spot with their offensive line than they are right now. Because if you would have tagged Saquon, or you would have given Saquon the money and tagged Daniel Jones, your cap screwed
for a year.
Yeah, but that year, your offensive line was already bad. It would have gotten worse.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is you do that, and then you head into that draft with the same record, and you still have – but now you're
but they wouldn't have had Nabers, because they would have had to go offensive line because you need cheap offensive linemen.
That's my point. As good as Nabers is, you're going down a different path. And holistically, aren't you in a better spot going forward?
I don't know. I don't, because is Saquon Barkley as good with a bad offensive line?
You can make that argument. you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's the sliding door side of this, like where like right now you're like, oh God, at least they had the financial out with Daniel Jones, right?
Yeah.
But if they had gone down another path and they were able to open things up and go, hey, we're kicking the can in a way that makes sense.
I think they just backed themselves into a lose-lose corner. Probably. And they lost. They lost big, especially because Saquon Barkley's doing what he's doing now.
Good Lord. Jumping over guys backwards.
All right. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. He's back. Next. The Oregon Ducks offense has missed number 15 since he went down with an injury against the University of Michigan on the opening drive. And Tez Johnson posted on his Instagram a photo of him in uniform with He's Back. Tez Johnson appears to be returning to practice for the Oregon Ducks.
Dun, dun, dun.
What that means for Oregon moving forward, I don't know if it means that we're going to see Tez Johnson in a game against Washington, right? A return to practice is great, but you're now looking at it as a return. This is obviously really good for a return for the Big Ten championship game, which is initially what Dan Lanning said was kind of that target for Tez to be at. When you have a bye week this week and he can have a ramp up week. And look, we've seen guys, you know, how many times have you seen the reports of, you know, reporters that cover the Oregon program saying we were able to see so-and-so in pads at practice and we don't see him in a game that week, right? We saw so-and-so
week after week after week after week after week. Boom,
boom. Yeah. Like it was like a month and a half ago. It was, hey, Gary Bryant Jr. has returned to practice, right? We didn't see him until 2 weeks ago. And so I don't know, the ramp up in the cautiousness in which Oregon uses with injuries, they know that they have depth and they know they have talent. They are extra cautious. Better have a guy healthy than rush a guy back who's limited and then he gets hurt again, right? And so having him back in any capacity at practice, that's a bump and a boost no matter what. I think it is a great sign for, you know, the best case scenario with that injury that he had at Michigan. It is coming to fruition. You know, a lot of people, myself included, were worried about a collarbone type injury. Mm-hmm. You don't come back from that in 3 weeks.
No.
So that is really good news. That does kind of lead you to believe that maybe it was like a sprained AC joint type situation where he misses that week of practice up to Maryland, misses the week of practice leading up to Wisconsin, and then boom, you're back and getting back in the swing of things. With this, if it is like an AC joint, you hit that, you pop that thing wrong once, you're back to square one, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be super cautious with them. The good thing is they have a bye week this week, and maybe we do see him against Washington.
This sounds super similar to Shaedon Sharpe in the sense of
you
want to be super careful with it. But like I've talked to people around the league, and I've talked to various doctors, and you know, like they all say the same thing. Like, look, I haven't seen his medicals, but anytime you're dealing with a shoulder, there's like a 99% chance like you're going to need some sort of surgery to repair something. It's just, can you get through whatever it is you're doing and get to the off season? Like if Tez or if Shaedon takes a bad shot and lands awkwardly or something along that line, you might re-aggravate it. It might lead to the thing that goes, rip, it's done. But there's you're not going to do anything worse to it in a sense. Does that like, even if it does require surgery, it's like you're going to have some kind of like little cleanup, especially if you're talking.
I don't think that with him, I don't think that's it. Cause like Shaedon has a labrum injury.
Yes.
And you, that's you like your shoulder popping out.
And not only
that,
that's like if you have,
you're going to have surgery.
If you have some sort of labral tear, no matter how small, labrums don't fix themselves. They have to be repaired.
Yep.
But what I'm saying with Tez is like, if it had been something like that,
you're right.
Like that's kind of the world you're living in. So if you're looking at it like that, you're like, he can't do anything more to it.
And I don't think the way that he was just kind of carrying himself didn't look like that, because you dangle your arm instead of
grab it
and hold up. Who knows though? He's back at practice. That's great. And look, the reality of it is with the win at Wisconsin, the Washington game is win or lose in that game. Obviously, you want to win. And I think there's a lot within him that he wants to win that game after last year, you know, and losing twice to UW. But the result of that game does not really change the path and trajectory of Oregon when you look at they're still going to the Big Ten championship game. That game is more important.
Yes.
And that's where you really hold the cards of what your season looks like moving forward, because you win the Big Ten championship game and you are a top four seed in the college football playoff. Mm. You get a bye, and if you don't, then you're playing and you're hoping that you get a home game and you're the fifth seed in the college football playoff, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be the one that holds more gravity. It'll be interesting to see how Oregon plays this with Tez Johnson and his injury.
Played safe.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. You know, just don't get hurt any worse.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Hour number two, we got our worst day on the web. We'll be here. We will also talk some NBA because this is fine. Everything's fine. Mm. Nothing to see here. Absolutely nothing at all. But let's talk some Biebs. We didn't talk any Biebs yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a tough one, man.
Oh, no.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.